If I ask all of you to describe what you are passionate about, I know what you would say. Some of you would state that you're passionate about reading and studying and learning. Others would say that you love gardening, crafts, and woodworking. Many would affirm a passion for the Georgia Bulldogs, or the Auburn Tigers, or the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, or the Florida Gators. And I know at least one of you, though constantly teased by his wife, who is always passionate about the Texas Longhorns. Well, some of you have multiple passions: cooking, sewing, listening to music, volunteering, doing yard work, and many other things. All of us have passions that cause our hearts to burn with excitement. Our scripture lesson this morning is the story of two disciples who experienced the amazing grace of Christ on their walk to Emmaus. Though the Emmaus story is familiar, it is overflowing with spiritual information that most of us miss when we read it. This morning, I want to share five insights about this story that can cause your hearts to burn with a passion for Christ. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for this story, and we pray that as we reflect on it, that you will cause our hearts to burn from within. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, the first key insight about this story comes from Luke 24, verse 9. That verse tells us that after the women found the tomb empty, they ran to tell the 11 disciples and a group of other disciples who were with the 11. Who were those other disciples? We don't know. But Cleopas may have been included as one of them. Though the group of disciples thought that what the women told them was nonsense, Peter and John sprinted to the tomb to see for themselves and ended up leaving, wondering about what had happened. Mary Magdalene stayed at the tomb weeping, and as I said a couple of weeks ago, she became the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. Our first insight is that Cleopas may have been one of the other disciples. Now, a second insight that we can glean from this story has to do with the identity of the biblical character of Cleopas. Who really was Cleopas? Though no one knows for sure, we do have a clue. It comes from a church leader by the name of Eusebius, who became the bishop of Caesarea in 314 AD and served as a counselor to the Roman Emperor Constantine. Some have considered him to be the father of early church history, which means that he would have kept very careful historical records. Eusebius believed that Cleopas was the brother of Joseph, the husband of the Virgin Mary. Now, most scholars affirm that Joseph died before Jesus began his ministry, which explains why Jesus stayed home to take care of his mother until the age of 30. It also explains why Jesus looked down at John while he was hanging on the cross and told him to take care of his mother following his death. As Jesus was gasping for breath, he looked at John and said, "Here is your mother." If Joseph had still been alive, Jesus would not have said such a thing. If Cleopas was the brother of Joseph, then he would have also been Jesus' uncle, making him very important as a witness to Jesus' resurrection. Why is he so important? Well, the answer is simple. If Cleopas, a close family member, didn't believe in Jesus' resurrection, no one else would either. So our second insight is that Cleopas may have been the brother of Joseph. A third insight that we can learn from this story has to do with the unnamed biblical character who traveled with Cleopas. Who was that person? Though no one knows for sure, I believe what Dr. James Montgomery Boyce believed about that unnamed person. Who was Dr. James Montgomery Boyce? Well, he was a graduate of Harvard University and Princeton Theological Seminary, and as a Presbyterian minister, he became the pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia for 32 years, from 1968 to 2000. Dr. Boyce said the following about Cleopas's unnamed companion. Look up the word Cleopas, and you'll find a second mention of his name in another account in the resurrection. The reference is John 19:25. There we read, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene." Thus we learn that the wife of Cleopas was also present in Jerusalem at the time of the crucifixion. And we may therefore assume, says Dr. Boyce, that she was the one returning to Emmaus with him on that day of the resurrection. So who was Cleopas's traveling companion? Well, Dr. Boyce believed it was Mary, his wife. As part of Jesus' family, it was equally important for her to become a convinced witness of his resurrection. A fourth insight we can glean from this grace-filled story is the significance of the ancient prophecies that Jesus explained as they walked along. What were those prophecies? Well, here is a list of a few of them. Deuteronomy 18, Moses wrote, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him." Well, Jesus became that prophet. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those are the actual words of Jesus as he hung on the cross. Isaiah 53, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus was pierced for us. Jeremiah 31, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Well, Jesus revealed that he was the new covenant during his last supper with the disciples. Zechariah 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah described Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem 500 years before Jesus was born. Malachi 3, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me." And then suddenly the Lord you seek will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant will come. Well, John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, whom we see again as the new covenant. These ancient prophecies didn't happen by accident. They reveal God's intended plans for salvation. Well, a fifth and final insight from this story is what happened after Jesus revealed himself to Cleopas and Mary in the breaking of bread. Their eyes were opened. They clearly recognized him. And then he mysteriously disappeared, and their hearts burned with such passion that they immediately left to travel the 7 miles back to Jerusalem in the dark to tell the disciples. In essence, they traveled a half marathon that day, and they never even hesitated. That's what happens when our hearts burn with a passion for Christ. Do you have a passion for Christ? Does your heart burn from within when you think about what Jesus did for you? Do you get excited when you realize that God is real? That Jesus knows you personally, and that the whole biblical story is not some fairy tale, but a true story of God coming into our world to save us and love us because of his grace. That is a powerful reality. But that's not the fifth insight. The fifth insight comes from the last part of our lesson. Luke writes this: "They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. The two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Now you can just see Cleopas and Mary pacing back and forth, saying to the disciples with passionate, burning hearts, "It's true! It's all true! Jesus is alive! He is the Savior! He is the Messiah! Nothing matters but Jesus!" So what's the fifth insight? It's simply that Jesus is real and alive, and there is nothing more important than a relationship with him. There's an old story about an African American man whose heart burned for the Lord every time he went to church. The story came from a sermon given by W.A. Criswell back in 1969. Dr. Criswell served 51 years as the pastor of the 12,000 member First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. Well, the story goes like this. There was an old African-American man who'd get happy in church, and the white folks didn't like it. So they appointed a committee to go talk to him so he wouldn't go to shouting and praising God so much. Well, the committee found the old man with his mule plowing out there in his field. There he was, standing between the handles of his plow with the reins in his hands. They said, "We've been appointed by the church to talk to you. You've got to quit shouting and praising God. You're disturbing the preacher, the people, and the service. You've got to quit all that praising." Well, the old man looked at them and he said, "Well, that's right, that's right. I mustn't do that. I mustn't do that." But then he said, "You know, it's like this. I get to thinking about what Jesus has done for me. There's my cabin right up there, and it's mine. And this field, and this old mule, and this plow. And he gives us bread to eat, and clothing to wear, and shelter under which to abide. I get to thinking about those things, and then I get to thinking about Jesus, and how he died for my sins, and how he saved me from hell. And then I get to thinking about what Jesus means to me, about heaven, and the mansion he has gone to prepare for me up there in the sky, and the glory that is yet to come." And the old man paused for a moment, and then he turned to one of the committee members and he said, "Here, hold these reins while I do some shouting. Hold this here mule, because I done got excited. My heart's a burning, my passions are strong, and I got to praise my God right now." And sure enough, that's what that old man did right then and there in front of those committee folks. Luke 24, verse 36 says, "While Cleopas and Mary were still talking about all the things that happened to them, suddenly Jesus himself stood among them." Their hearts burned with passion. Do your hearts burn with a passion when you think about all that Jesus has done for you? We have many passions that cause our hearts to burn, but no passion is greater than a passion for Jesus. "I done got excited," said that old man. "My heart's a burning, my passions are strong, and I got to praise my God right now." That's what happened when grace met Cleopas and his wife Mary. And that's what can happen when grace meets you as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.